WSPD.
Indeed, it's 4:37, 23 out from top of the hour. Welcome to the third half of the show, which I understand is improbable in most math books, but nevertheless, we have some fun with it, and we're about to do that once again here. Good to have you along with us. We start at 3, by the way, just as a little gentle reminder, so you don't miss out on all the other fun stuff we've got planned for you. Over the weekends, in the evenings, we carry a show called Free Talk Live by a couple of lunatics up in New Hampshire. I say lunatics because they're libertarians, as I am, and Free Talk Live is pretty much self-explanatory. If you haven't heard the show, you are so much the poorer. They have a gang of others that join them from time to time. And lo and behold, here the other day, right at the top of the page in the Drudge Report, Meg McLean, who is, part of the posse up there, gets hauled out by TSA down at Fort Lauderdale, where she was flying back to New Hampshire. And apparently the only person on the whole damn plane, that's going to be subjected to, porno scan. The full body, scanning apparatus that, is so much in the news that we've been discussing, here at WSPD. Now, the story is rather appalling. Truly amazing, almost to the point of being unbelievable. And if it wasn't for the fact that she was affiliated with Free Talk Live, and I know Ian and the guys up there on a conversational basis, I would I'd be saying, yeah, right, sure, you bet. Where's Pinocchio and his nose? But this one's rather amazing. And before John Tyner got the ball rolling on this whole this whole TSA controversy that's currently raging around the country. So she's agreed to join us here for a little chat and to relive it for the 973rd time here on WSPD. Meg, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on. Make sure to tell the guys that I said hello.
Will do.
You get a little tired of the story here. I mean, have you been through this? Good Morning America, you know, all the rest of how everybody's been asking you to come on and tell it over and over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, it gets old, but at the same time, it's such an important subject and issue out there that, you know, it's good for people to hear about it.
Yeah, have you had anybody, at least in official capacity, when I say official capacity, news people, network people, talk show people, question the veracity of your story?
I mean, there's been questions here and there. Obviously, the TSA released some videos, and, you know, I had some issues with that because I felt that they were just trying to, you know, release these two videos that don't show the entire interaction as a way to divert the conversation from, you know, what the real issue is, which is people are being made to, you know, have naked photos taken of themselves or be molested. And so, yeah. I mean, they wanted to harp on that. And now it's turned into, you know, well, she's an activist, so she was doing it as a media stunt, which I can say couldn't be further from the truth, because I'm not much for the media, but I'm doing it because it is that important.
Well, indeed, I appreciate the principled stand on that. I think the first thing, before we just go quickly through it, for those of you who have not heard, read, seen, if you look Meg up on the internet, you will find that she is terribly unattractive, and you couldn't possibly imagine why anyone would want to have any interest whatsoever in seeing her naked. She's about 5'11", weighs in at about 350 now. Stringy hair, terrible complexion, and incredibly poor taste in clothes. I hate to be so brutally honest about that, Meg, but is that reasonably accurate?
Yeah, I wish that was the case. It'd be a little warmer here in the winter if I had that kind of pounds.
Well, there is that. She's a hottie, if you don't mind my saying so. And it certainly explains why, you know, some perverts with TSA in Fort Lauderdale, where the boys are, for the older members of the audience, would be inclined to yank someone of her personage out for a closer, more upfront and personal look. So let's take it from the top. I know you've been through it 1,000 times, but for us, it's all brand new. So you're flying out of Fort Lauderdale to get back to New Hampshire. You're yanked out of line, and
Well, they pulled me out of line for the body scanner, which is a machine that basically takes a photo of you without your clothes on. And I was uncomfortable with that, and I knew I had the opportunity to opt out. So I just told them, you know, I wasn't going to do it because I was uncomfortable with it. So then they pulled me into a secondary screening area where they were going to do this new enhanced pat-down, which, you know, I've heard about them. I've gone through pat-downs that didn't go to this level yet, but they were still very invasive. And I wasn't comfortable with somebody touching me in that way because to me it just felt like sexual assault. And so I had some questions about the procedure before I let them go through with it. And they just would not answer my questions. They started bringing more and more people over. Eventually, I got the supervisor. She called the cops. The cops came. They sat me down in a chair. I tried to reach for my camera, and they weren't having that. So they handcuffed me and took my stuff away. They were going through like my ID, passing it around and taking my information, getting background checks on me. And eventually they just walked me out of the airport.
But walking you out of the airport, apparently in the company of, 10, 15 people?
Yeah, it was a good crowd of people that, you know, more and more were waiting for me at the end of the security line, and more joined at the gate, some left at the gate, all around. It was probably like 12 to 15 people somewhere in there. I don't know. It was way too many.
The verbal abuse in the process? I mean, I understand that. So you're going for your camera. That gets you a pair of handcuffs. What was the dialogue? If dialogue as opposed to monologue was the correct description of what was taking place at the time?
Well, I kept trying to ask them questions about, you know, like where the line in the sand was for them, where if they were ever going to be given an order that they would refuse to follow because they felt, you know, it passed some moral line, and they wouldn't answer that. So they just started going on and on about terrorism and treating me as if I was a criminal because I wasn't going to allow them to molest me. You know, it's like because I wasn't going to let that happen, suddenly I'm a terrorist. And there was no need for that. You know, I was just humiliated because they were very loud about it. They made everybody in the area just sort of look at me and say, hey, you know, you don't want to do what we say without question. This is what happens.
How big a crowd was around the area where the security area where you were going through? Was it a pretty busy evening at the in Fort Lauderdale at the airport?
It was kind of a small section of the terminal, so it wasn't super busy. I mean, there were more TSA and police than passengers in that area. So, I mean, it was mainly a show of force for the, you know, small amount of people that were there. But, you know, pretty much any airport you go to, it'd be about the average amount of people. I mean, there were quite a few.
I got you. Did anyone from the general public that was standing around have any reaction, any offer to assist, or did they, any outraged flyers or citizens, you know, yell out, what are you doing to this woman, or what's going on?
No.
Anything like that?
Everybody pretty much kept their head down and tried not to, you know, it was obviously a scene, so people were looking at it, but they were trying, you know, not to make themselves noticeable or anything like that, just sort of move along.
Yeah, good sheep-like behavior. I'm curious too. The story was that your ticket was torn up. Is that standard operating procedure in the enhanced pat down when the subject won't cooperate? Was that some form of retaliation or an attempt to motivate you to act untowardly toward them?
You know, I don't think that's their standard procedure, but the woman who I was originally dealing with, she just sort of had an attitude problem from the very beginning. So I think that was just her way of getting at me a little more because, you know, I was trying to stay calm and I was trying to show this woman that her behavior was immoral, and she did not want to hear that. She wanted to think that she was doing a good job, and for me to tell her that her job is immoral, she just couldn't handle that. So she decided to, you know, take it out on me.
Yeah, well, they all think they're doing the Lord's work, I'm sure. With respect to the what you were supposed to be subjected to, do we understand this to be the enhanced pat-down procedure where this is the front of the hands in grasping mode as opposed to the back of the hands in just general cruise control?
Yeah, and I was actually told by one of the police officers that night that they were starting a new program that went into effect like that night at midnight. And I found out later that's actually they're putting hands in people's pants now and under their shirts and pulling down their shirts or up their blouses. You know, now they're actually going under your clothes. And that was, I assume, the new procedure he was talking about. And that just, for me, you know, I think they're going to try and just play it off like, oh, that was going too far. So now we're just going to have the enhanced pat down. That's it. And it's all too far for me.
What is the, I know that you you occasion yourself on Free Talk Live and so on, and I know that there has been, you've talked with some colleagues at other stations in Pittsburgh and, you know, and so on. What is the general, we don't have time for, you know, for audience questions in this segment, but the, to the extent that that has been the format in other radio and TV stations, what has the general reaction been from the public? Have you, I'm assuming you would have gotten a lot of support on your stand.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten so much emails and messages and stuff like that from people. And I mean, there are some mean things that I think mainly TSA officials have written to me. But for the most part, people are really supportive. But the part that concerns me is most of the support is coming from people who have been through this, which, you know, 90% of the mail I'm getting is seeming to come from only women that, you know, are in their late teens to late 40s range, a lot of who have kids that are picked to do this as well. And so I'm starting to see a pattern within this. It might just be men aren't writing to me, but I mean, so much of it is coming from women who just feel, you know, sexually violated by these people. And that's the part that's starting to concern me more, that, you know, I hadn't really thought about it, but if this is a pattern, it's a problem.
Are you expecting or did they threaten you with any sort of after-the-fact retaliation or fines or any other sort of legal action as they have with John Tyner?
No, I haven't heard anything. I'm kind of hoping that they don't ever think of that. But, you know, I haven't been threatened with anything like that. I just got walked out of the airport for that night.
How did you get back to New Hampshire?
Some wonderful people, you know, within the movement raised up enough money to get me a ticket out of Tallahassee where there are no body scanners. And I just, you know, put my stuff on the little belt and walked through, and there was a nice old man greeting me with a smile, and that was it. That was all I had to do for security.
I think, for the foreseeable future, that is the key to flying, is, you know, find a small airport, fly to a small airport. Two things. The number one, are you planning anything, or are you involved in anything to raise public awareness, or to be part of any of the efforts now to get TSA to back off, back down, change their ways, get put out of business?
Yeah, there's actually the National Opt Out Day coming up on the 24th, which is one of the heaviest travel days of the year, and over at my website, I own a website called libertyflare.com. I started an activism kit for people to, you know, go to their local airports and hand out information. And I have stickers that, you know, say, hi, I'm an opt out. And so people can just wear that and walk up to the thing and say, you know, I'm opting out today. And hopefully we can get the message that, you know, these things are not tolerated and people will not accept them. And they can't be made mandatory because too many people are against it.
I'm sorry, the website again is Liberty...
Liberty Flair, F-L-A-I-R.
Liberty Flair, one word, .com?
Yep.
Okay. And, well, we'll post that.
Yeah, we're also working with the We Won't Fly people. WeWon'tFly.com is a great place to find out information about that as well.
Excellent. Well, we will follow through with that and look forward to you flying more successfully out of small airports.
Yes, me too.
Meg, thanks a lot for taking the time and going through it all with us. Again, we'll direct people to libertyflare.com, and hopefully something magnificent will happen in the not-too-distant future. Thanks
hopefully.
A lot.
Thank you.
Yep. Give a big hi to Ian and the boys. We'll look forward to hearing them this weekend on WSBD.